Good morning, church. It's good to be here with you this morning. I'd just like to thank Pastor Dave for the invite to be able to share God's word here in your service this morning. I'm going to be reading from Genesis chapter 24. If you want to turn to it in your Bibles or whatever way access the scripture. But Genesis chapter 24. But we'll read these verses shortly. First thing I want to do is just to go back a few chapters, just to give us a bit of an insight into what I want to share this morning. If we look back to chapter 21, in chapter 21 in Genesis, we read the story of the birth of Isaac. And the birth of Isaac was in fulfillment to God's promise at the set time that God had spoken. And Isaac means laughter. The name Isaac means laughter. And there's a good reason for the name. See, whenever Sarah received the promise that she was going to have a son, Isaac, she laughed with distrust and she laughed with doubt because Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 years old when God blessed them with their son, Isaac. If you look in chapter 22, we read in chapter 22 where Abraham's faith was tested by God. And his faith was tested in the hardest possible way. Because when you look back, he was 100 and Sarah was 90 when they had their son Isaac. And his faith was tested in the hardest possible way because God told him to go on a 3-day journey and to sacrifice his son Isaac as an offering to the Lord. And Abraham displays remarkable trust in God because he was prepared to go and sacrifice his son. And then we go to chapter 23. And we read of Sarah's death at 127 years old. And Abraham buys a cave in Hebron. And he buys it to be a burial place for Sarah. And by buying this plot of land, what Abraham is doing, he's not only establishes the future rights for it for his family, but he's putting it down as a marker for his descendants. Because he wants them to be associated with the land of Canaan as God had promised. So he's putting this down as a marker. Then in chapter 24, where we're going to read from, we meet up with Abraham in his old age, and he's thinking about the future of his son Isaac. And in the first 9 verses, it tells us of how the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And when I was reading this morning, I thought, you know, Abraham had a special relationship with God. And I would love to be able to say that with my relationship with God. I'm sure most of us here this morning would love to say that. That we have a special relationship with God. But Abraham's now concerned that his son Isaac, he's worried. He doesn't want them to marry a Canaanite. He fears this will draw Isaac away from worshiping the Lord. So what Abraham does, he entrusts this important task of finding a wife for Isaac. He entrusts it to his oldest servant in the household. And there's a sermon on that alone, why he chose the oldest one, because he spent more time with him. We could drill into that more. But for the sake of time, he entrusts the oldest servant to go and find a wife for his son, Isaac. And in doing this, the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham. And by placing your hand under the thigh of someone, it was indicating your submission to them. And you were submitting to their strength and to their authority. And by undertaking this action, the servant was binding himself, or he's making a commitment. He was committing himself to obey Abraham's request. And that's where I just want to drill into this story a wee bit more this morning. And I want to read from verse 10 through to 21, and then we'll skip a few verses, and we'll read verse 26 and 27. So Genesis 24 from verse 10. It says, "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, 'O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today, and show steadfast love to my master Abraham, "Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, 'Please let down your jar that I may drink,' and who shall say to me, 'Drink, and I will water your camels,' let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master." And before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, she came out with her water jar on her shoulder. And the young woman, who was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known, she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please give me a little water to drink from your jar." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, and she ran again to the well to draw water, and she drew for all his camels. And the man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. And we'll jump forward to verse 26. It says, "The man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness towards my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen.'" You know, Abraham sent a servant to his hometown to find a wife for Isaac. You know, even though it was common practice for the parents to choose their son's wife, you know, Isaac's wife would not be chosen by his parents. Isaac's wife would be chosen by God himself. You see, God not only directed the servant to the right place, but he also brought Rebekah out to the well before the servant had even finished praying. And this morning, I just want to look at how the servant went about his task. I want to see what we can learn from the servant today. And there are so many things in this passage of Scripture that we could share on this morning. But I want to concentrate on three things. And the first one is in verse 10. When we look at verse 10, we see the servant getting himself ready to go. And he's taking provisions from Abraham's livestock, and he's taking gifts for the woman and her family. In other words, preparation. He is preparing for the journey ahead. Then in verse 12, we see him praying. We see him asking the Lord to guide and to lead to the woman which he had chosen for Isaac. Then we read of his prayer being answered in verse 26 and 27. And we see him thanking and worshiping the Lord for his answer. So 3 points I want to look at this morning are preparation, prayer, and praise. Preparation, prayer, and praise. And the first point, preparation. What was the servant preparing for? And the servant was preparing for the journey ahead. And we've all been on journeys. We've all been on journeys in our lives. And some journeys that we go on, we go by choice. I.e., we can go on holidays, weekend breaks, days away, whatever. And we can prepare for them journeys. And if we're going somewhere hot, we'll take whatever we need to take with us. If we're going for a week, 2 weeks, whatever, we'll take enough clothes. It'll do us for the length of time we're away. And if it's a hot climate, we'll take the right suntan lotion. We can prepare for these journeys because we know where we're going. We know where we're going. And we can take whatever we need to do that because we know where we're going. Now, I must admit, in my own life, as we were preparing to come here, we knew for a lot of months that we were coming here. I'm not very good at preparing for journeys. Not very good at packing the case, to be honest. And there's times I don't prepare at all, and I leave it to the last minute, and I check if I've got everything I need. And then when I don't have everything I need, it's panic stations. And Pamela, my wife, who's here this morning, always bails me out. And always say, look, if we can forget something, we can buy it. There's nothing that we can't buy when we're away. So don't worry about it. But when we know we're going on journeys, we can prepare. And you see in verse 10, we see the servant took 10 of his master's camels and he departed. And he also took gifts for his master. And he took the camels to bear the presents for the bride and also to bring the bride and her family back, to transport them back to Abraham. So in other words, he knew where he was going. He knew why he was going, so he could prepare what he needed. He knew where he's going, he could prepare what he needed. But what about the journeys in life that we go on that we hadn't planned for? What about journeys in our lives when we haven't, but yet we must still travel them journeys? We must still go through life. We must still do life. In other words, what about circumstances in our lives? The circumstances are things that happen in our lives, but they're out of our control. But we still have to journey them. How do we prepare for them? How do we prepare for them journeys? Whenever we face a circumstance in life that is overwhelming, what do? What is our normal reaction? And that circumstance could be anything. It could be a negative report from a doctor. It could be a job loss. It could be the loss of a family member. It could be any one of them things. It could be lots more. But when they happen, we need to realize that we can't keep doing life the same way. We can't keep doing life the way we used to. Things have changed. Things are different. And we have all faced circumstances in our lives. We've all faced circumstances that were hard. We've all faced circumstances that were unexpected, that we hadn't planned for. And if we're honest, many of us wish we could run away and hide whenever them things happen. A lot of us wish we could just give up and just lock ourselves away somewhere for a while. The story of Joseph in the Bible is an amazing story of circumstances. If you ever get a chance, read it. It's in Genesis chapter 37 through to 50. And some of the circumstances in Joseph's life were unreal. They're unbelievable. And the first circumstance in Joseph's life was that his father loved his other sons, or loved him more than he did his other brothers. Joseph was his favorite. And that was a circumstance that was out of Joseph's control. He didn't choose that. He couldn't determine how his father felt. But his father favored Joseph. And one day when Joseph's brothers were out grazing the flock, Joseph was sent to see how they were getting on. His father Jacob sent him to see how your brothers are getting on. And when the brothers seen him, they were angry and they were jealous because Joseph was the favorite. And the brothers weren't pleased to see Joseph. So what they done was they made a plan to kill him. But Joseph's older brother, Reuben, he encouraged him or coaxed him not to kill him, to put him in the pit. And his intention was that later on that night when it was dark, that he would go and he would take Joseph out of the pit and let him go. But in between times, the second circumstance in Joseph's life was his brother sold him as a slave. They sold him, he was taken to Egypt, and he was sold to the king's guard, Potiphar. And he was sold into slavery. And Potiphar was a very powerful man in them days in Egypt. But Joseph worked hard. Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. And he knew that Joseph was to be trusted, that he could trust Joseph. And as a result, he gave Joseph more responsibility over all that he owned. But you know, it wasn't easy for Joseph. Even in this role, because his boss's wife tried to trap him into lying down with her. She kept hounding him every day. And Joseph knew this wasn't what God wanted. This isn't right. And sometimes we need to keep our integrity right. Even though there's times things can happen and we think nobody will know. God knows. And Joseph knew this wasn't what the Lord wanted. But this wasn't right. So he chose, he refused her and he chose to honor God and his decision that he made. And as a result, the woman told lies about him, and he ended up in prison. And that's another circumstance in Joseph's life, where he ended up in prison. But in and through all of Joseph's circumstances, there's no mention that Joseph even tried to defend himself. There's no mention of him trying to take things into his own hand and I do it my way. He trusted the Lord. He trusted the Lord. And instead he turned his attention to living for God while he was in prison. He determined what he was going to do. I think whenever life seems unfair to us, the first thing many of us do is complain. Or else I'm the only one. If things don't go the way I expect them to go, then I complain. And there's four words that I always used in my life, even through my years of addiction. And the four words I always use, well, it's not my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. If I could always blame it on somebody else and it wasn't my fault, I didn't have to take responsibility for my life. And I think we can all be like that at times. I think the first thing we should do as Christians, when circumstances come that way, and fight God in their circumstances. Don't keep them on the outside. The devil will want you to do that. Many times we hear that voice, don't be telling anybody, they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't know what you're going through. I know back home in my own church, in our Bible studies, and even in our STARS meetings that we always have a time of prayer at the end of the STARS meeting. And we ask people, what do they want prayer for? And lots of times people will pray for their family, they'll pray for their neighbors, they'll pray for their work colleagues, they'll pray for everybody. Very few people say, pray for me. I'm struggling. There's things in my life, even as a Christian. Pray for me. And I don't know why, as Christians, do we think that we're a weak Christian if we ask for prayer? Do we think that we should have everything together, that we shouldn't need prayer? We don't. And when circumstances come and things happen in our lives, the first thing we should do is invite God into our circumstances. And if we look at our own lives, what have been the most challenging circumstances you've ever had to face in your life? What are the circumstances you're maybe facing right now in life? And during them difficult times, we can lose our focus because all we can see are the menaces. All we can see are the disappointments. We need to get back. You know, Joseph teaches us here that we have a choice how we react in our circumstances. We're not in control of the circumstances, but we're in control of what we do. We can either get under the rock of our circumstances, or we can get outside of our circumstances and remind ourselves that God has a purpose for each of our lives. And he wants us to make a difference. And we'll do that by inviting God into our circumstances. We cannot control what emotions or circumstances we'll experience next, but we can choose how we respond to them. And how the servant responded to his emotions and his circumstances was, he prayed to God. The servant prayed that God would lead him and show him favor. And that's my second point, praying. Pray God's will and God's provision through the journey. Whatever we're journeying in life, pray for God's will and God's provision on that journey. We'll read in verse 12 where the servant says, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. You see, the servant, like Abraham, the servant has faith in the Lord and he prays for guidance. But you know the most important thing I found here? He listened. He listened to God's voice. And I think sometimes prayer should be like a telephone conversation. You talk, and the other person listens. And then when they talk, you listen. Many times, I know personally in my own life, in my own prayer life, there's times we can pray for 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever, and as soon as we say amen, we're away. I think God's looking down with the answers. It's like our children, if any of us hear any kids, and they come and ask you for something, by the time you go and get it, if you come back, if they're not there, you're thinking to yourself, where did they go? And sometimes we're like that. We pray and we say amen, but we don't listen to what God is saying to us or what God is telling us. See, the servant here, he sought God's wisdom, but he listened to God's instructions. He prayed for his wisdom, but he listened. And it's the same for us whenever we're facing problems. Whenever we don't know what to do, we need to ask God for help. Prayer should be our first activity rather than our last resort. Prayer should be our first activity. And if you notice here, which is quite interesting, the servant prays a bold prayer. He prays a bold prayer. For he asks God to provide a way for Isaac today. Not tomorrow, not next week or next month. I'm going on this journey today, I need it now. And he prays a bold prayer. He says to God, provide a way for Isaac today. And you know, God did. Even before the servant had finished praying, God had already answered his prayer. Before he had finished praying, you look at verse 15, it tells us, before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah came out. So before he'd even finished praying, God had provided, God had answered his prayer. And I know that's great this morning, but the thing is, God doesn't always guarantee to be so speedy. He doesn't always guarantee to answer a prayer right away. And I think sometimes we think that. We want what we would call back home a microwave prayer, where you pray and then you hear the ping and it's ready. And that doesn't always happen. I think God desires us to persevere in prayer times. He wants us to persevere. Is there anybody here this morning praying about decisions you need to make? Maybe regarding issues in your life. Have you committed them to God? Have you prayed about them? See, the servant prays with bold confidence. Why? Because he knows that the God of Abraham is faithful to his promises. He knows that he's faithful. Have we committed our stuff to God? Have we prayed about them? Do we believe? Do we know? Do we have a proper view of God? Do you recognize God's love? Do you recognize God's compassion for you? Even though the prayers aren't answered our way, do we have that understanding of God? In James 1 and verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who will give generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. See, the servant stepped out in the strength and power of God. Instead of looking at his lack of stuff, he looks at the possibilities and he looks at the size of God. And I think there's times in our prayer life, I think there's times that we need to stop telling God how big our problems are. Many times we get into prayer and all we do is pour our heart out and tell God how big our problems are. God, this is a big problem. This is a hard one. You mightn't be able to help me with this. And we keep telling God how big our problems are. I think there comes a time in our prayer life where we need to start telling our problems how big our God is. Because our God is bigger than any problem we'll face. Our God is more than able to deliver us through it. And we need to be mindful of that at times and start telling our problems how big God is. And that's the third and final point here, is praise. The servant praised God for his answer. The servant praised God for his answer. In verse 27 it says, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward my master. As for me, the Lord has led me in the way to the house of my master's kinsmen. See, the servant returns to thank God for giving him a prosperous journey. Do we have a heart of gratitude for what God has done for us in the past? Are we mindful to give God thanks for what he has done for us in the past? It's good to look over our shoulder sometimes. I'm not saying we dwell in the past, but it's good to look over the shoulder to see. I look over my shoulder and see where I was and where God has brought me to today. And I'm thankful for that every day. I'm not where I should be, but I thank God I'm not where I was. And it's a journey. And God is journeying with me on that. And I have a long, long way to go. I still make mistakes. I'm not perfect. But I don't deliberately make the mistakes that I used to make. And God journeys with us. And we need to have that heart of gratitude to God for what he's already done. It's important to remember that God will give us what we need to do whatever that job is he has for us. Whenever God calls us to do, remember, God never sends you where he's already been. God has already been there. God will go before us. If there's something that he wants you to do, he's prepared a way for you. He prepared a way for this servant. And before we start, we should pray and ask God to guide us in everything we do. And we need to prepare as much as we can. We need to prepare as much as we can for the job. Just don't think God will sort it out. We need to do our bit as well. You see, whenever Jesus was ascending back into heaven, he says, my spirit I leave with you. And in some versions of the Bible say, my helper I leave with you. But nowhere in the scriptures have I read, my do it all for you I leave. So that tells me that we have to do something as well. And God is our helper and he will help us. But we have to do our bit. We have to prepare as much as we can for the job ahead, the way the servant done. He just didn't go willy-nilly off to do it. He prepared for what he wanted to do. And we need to pray for God's help. And whenever we see God answering our prayers, let's remember to give him the praise and the glory. Whenever the servant saw answered his prayers and he seen the fulfillment of his mission, he was moved. He was moved to worship the Lord. He had to bless God for leading him in that direction. He had no other option. He was so thankful. He was so thankful for what God had done. And that's a question we can ask ourselves. How about you? How about me? Do we bless and thank God when he answers our prayers? Because we're called to be thankful in all circumstances. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 it says, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, that doesn't mean that we are thankful for all things. It simply means that we're thankful in all things. Because God will bring us through it. And why are we thankful in all things? Because God is with us. God will bring us through it. And for that alone, we should worship him. For that alone, we should worship him. Because he'll bring us through it. Just in finishing, this morning, I just want each of you to think. I don't want any answers, but just each one of you just to think of some of the answers to prayer that you or your family have had over many years, or even recently. And think later on today, or maybe this evening, just take time to praise God for these answers. Just thank God. Even this morning when getting out of bed, thank God for breath in their body today. We have a lot to be thankful for. We take a lot of things for granted. We have a lot to be thankful for. We need to sit back sometimes and just see God's answer to prayer. Because God is still at work in our lives and in our families. We still have unsaved family members or friends or work colleagues. And we still need to see God move in their lives. And believe that God will. Pray believing. Pray believing that God not only hears, but he answers our prayers. We have a God who answers prayers. We have a God of miracles. We need to believe in miracles today. And also, is there a task that you feel maybe God's asking you to do? Maybe God's calling you to do something, either in the church or outside of the church. That you feel God has drawn you to something, maybe a mission. Maybe something he wants you to be involved in, something he wants you to do. You know, ask God. Ask for God's wisdom. Ask for God's direction. As I said earlier on, God will not send you somewhere he hasn't been before. He goes before us. He prepares the way. And if God is calling somebody here today, or you feel that tug in your heart, that you want to do something for God, you want to give something back, if that heart of gratitude for what God has done, if not for you personally, but for family members or other people, then do that today. Pray about it. Seek God's wisdom. God, is there somewhere you want me to go? Is there something that you want me to do? I don't want to just sit in the church on a Sunday. I believe there's more. I believe there's more that you have me to do, you want me to do. And be like the servant. Just be obedient. Just be obedient to God. He'll do the rest. All God wants from us is obedience. And if we do that, God will finish off. Thank you, Pastor.